for you.
Why? Okay. I don't know why it bothers you so much.
Because, like, I have to look at you.
You don't have to look at me.
Yeah, I have to look at you. You're my husband.
Are you? Am I?
Are you?
All right. Hello, everyone. I'm here with my lovely wife, Banafsa.
Howdy.
And we're reviewing Mr. Robot. Until it's bare naked. Thank you so much for joining me, everyone, audience, listeners. So first off, we have the conversation. We're going to keep it spoiler-free. We're just going to talk about Mr. Robot in general for people who may be interested but haven't watched it yet. But then we're going to get into it, man. We're going to spoil it. We're going to spoil it until it smells like... just smells terrible.
Like spoiled milk.
And we're going to talk about the good of the show, talk about the bad, we're gonna give some trivia, then we're gonna give it a final rating. Bum bum bum. But first up, here's the synopsis. Mr. Robot is an American drama thriller television series on the USA Network. It stars Rami Malek as Elliot Anderson, a cybersecurity engineer and hacker who suffers from social anxiety disorder and clinical depression. Elliot is recruited by an anarchist who goes by the name Mr. Robot, who's played by Christian Slater, to join his group of hacker activists, or hacktivists, which is a word I just found in the synopsis of this in Wikipedia. The group aims to erase all debts for the entire world by attacking the large corporation E-Corp.
Or Evil Corp.
Or Evil Corp. Interesting side note, E-Corp, their symbol is a giant E, and it looks very similar to Enron, which was an evil corporation taken down around 2002 or something like that. So,
yeah.
So, okay, as a whole in general, what do you think about Mr. Robot?
I really liked Mr. Robot. I think it's a captivating storyline. And it keeps you wanting more and kind of wanting to figure out what's going to come next.
Yeah, I really liked Mr. Robot. And that's the main reason why I liked it, is I didn't know where it was going. In season one, I thought I had the show down. I knew what was going to happen. After season one, after the twist that happened at the end, I had no idea where the show was going to go. And now I put my heart and complete trust in the show. And I'm willing to go wherever the show is going to take me, and which seems like it's going to be pretty crazy for our main characters.
Yeah, and it's kind of interesting that it's the same storyline across season one and season two, and they still have so much data, like so much room to play around. They're doing a good job with using the same storyline, but kind of developing it further and making it deeper.
Yeah, and you know the show, it doesn't, like, hold anything back. A lot of the characters, in particular the main character, Elliot Anderson, who's played by Rami Malek, he's suffering from depression, so he takes drugs. And so throughout the show, there's moments where he's taking drugs, and it's, like, really... it's not like, ha ha ha, I'm just smoking some weed with my friends. You know, it's, like, really, like, serious drug use and really getting into, like, the loneliness of taking drugs sometimes. And well, getting into Rami Malek, who is really the breakout star from this show, this is his, using the word again, his breakout role. And this is what put him on the map. And actually, pretty recently, he won the Emmy for Best Actor. And
Well-deserved.
Well-deserved. I think a lot of people in Hollywood were really happy, according to some of the buzz I saw online. Rami Malek, some of the other buzz is he's Egyptian. So he was born in America, but his parents are from Egypt. So this is his breakout role, but he's been around for a while. You may have seen him in minor roles, like in Paul Thomas Anderson's The Master, or the movie Battleship, or the HBO miniseries The Pacific. And I guess The Pacific is his real breakout. A lot of people may know him from this, but The Pacific was produced by Tom Hanks. It's this World War II kind of drama thing. And Tom Hanks saw him there and was so impressed with his acting that Tom Hanks would later recommend him and include him in a couple of his movies. So that's what really put Rami Malek on the map. And this is also the breakout work for the creator, writer, and director Sam Ishmael, who before this was mainly known for a documentary he put out in 2014 called Risk, which was about the WikiLeaks creator Julian Assange. A lot of breakout roles and stuff, and actually just watching the show and all the characters. I mean, aside from a couple guest stars in the guest roles, I don't know any of these actors from anything else.
Yeah, I didn't know any of the actors either.
Yeah, which is great. I mean, Christian Slater, obviously.
Right.
I knew Christian Slater. I think it's great, actually. I always really liked him, and he was really big in the 80s. In the past, like, maybe 10, 15 years, he's been on different sitcoms that have, or not sitcoms, but like dramas, where he's always like this guy who's in charge kind of thing. Every show has flopped. None of them lasted. And I think we actually watched one together. We just watched one episode. It was okay, but it wasn't anything like crazy. He like had a company that would like try to trick people or something like that.
Oh, yeah. I vaguely remember that.
Yeah.
It wasn't that great.
But it wasn't that great. It was okay, but it was nothing great. And that was pretty much all his TV work since Heathers or something.
Which but he's also a producer on Mr. Robot, isn't he?
He's a producer. So he's also kind of a guy in charge character in Mr. Robot as well, but there's kind of a spin on that, which makes the show really great. You know, one thing we've talked a lot about, Banofsa, is the show is like really a slow burn. Like I've mentioned before, it doesn't like hold anything back with the drug use and stuff, but just in general, not just ignoring the drugs and sins and all that kind of stuff, it is really slow. Is that something you like in shows?
So I'm actually really torn between season one and season two. I really like that aspect of it in season one, but I feel like season two was just like super drawn out, and I was kind of getting over it. By the end of it, I was like, all right, let's just move on. Like, where is this going?
Yeah.
And another interesting thing is that the show is on USA. And for them to show this type of stuff that they do show on USA, which I think that alone is kind of unique for the show.
Yeah. I think Mr. Robot has completely broken. I think this show, Mr. Robot, has a lot of similarities to Breaking Bad. And Breaking Bad was on AMC. So AMC is very like deep cable,
right?
USA is. I think you may even get USA as part of your
basic
standard
cable channel,
package. So having this on USA is like speaks a lot about what you can put on that, and probably pretty soon what you can put on network television. You know, I think a lot of times when people talk about drugs, having drugs in shows, having sex in shows, the plot is like relationships in some shows that have sex and alcohol and stuff. Like, how does that impact the relationship? But in Mr. Robot, you know, there's something very sinister about like everything. You know what I mean? Like, even if you don't know where the show's going on, when he's taking drugs and when he's vomiting all over the place and he's looking for drugs through the vomit, like, this is like taking the show and the story into some crazy area, and you know, I think it really like serves the story more.
Yeah, I think it it makes it more real, and it's not just for this like on the surface, like, oh yeah, we have, you know, drugs in our show. This is like, oh, this is real life. Like, this is what, you know, a drug addict might experience in real life. So,
and he sees a therapist throughout a lot of season one, and someone in season two, he sees a therapist. You know, that's a real deal. And they spend a lot of I feel like for a TV show to spend as much time with a therapist as they do, I think it's pretty good, like, showing the real, you know, effects
emotion,
of depression and stuff.
Yeah.
So lastly, before we get into the spoilers, for anyone who's on the edge of watching the show, you should watch it for what you're going to get out of it, because the show just won multiple Emmys and recently won a Peabody Award as well. So I think that speaks really highly for the show. And I assume they gave that to them because the show has a lot of ties with the 2008 financial crisis. A lot of the fury against the banks that came out after, because in the real world, nothing really happened to the banks. And basically this show is like, what if someone were to do something to the banks?
And it also shows the fear of the public at that time.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Now it's time to open the can for spoilers. Everyone, smell that woof of spoiled milk.
Spoiler alert!
Let's get into what's good about the show. It's good. One thing that I really like straight off the bat is all the really great female roles in the show. And so I'm looking at Angie and Darlene. Angie and Darlene, I'm looking right at you, girls. You know, they're attractive actresses, but they're playing people who have, like, a lot of faults, you know?
Right.
And the show doesn't take anything, doesn't hold anything back from showing those faults. You kind of took issue with this, but I feel like Angie has, like, she's doing this whole, like, kind of power thing. Like, she's trying to, like, move high up into the E-Corp,
yeah.
Evil Corp.
Corporate America.
Corporate America. And she's, like, listening to tapes.
Motivational
like, yeah,
tapes.
Yeah, motivational tapes. Like, you are a winner. But then she kind of has, like, these, like, weird relationships with older men and stuff.
And I think she's trying to be someone that she's not, which is kind of, towards the end of season two, you kind of, like, realize that she's kind of realizing that too.
Yeah. And a lot of people are like trying to be someone they're not. And I think that's kind of like what the show is about, I feel like. People who are trying to pretend to be someone.
Yeah.
You know? Even like Mr. Price, he has this really good monologue where it was like the very first, it was the guy that Angie went up to put a, to initially talk about her mother's death. And all this kind of stuff. And that guy gave her a referral to get into E-Corp.
Oh, right, yeah.
So that guy, forgetting his name, but he has a scene with Mr. Price, the CEO of E-Corp.
Right.
And he has this really great scene. There's a lot of great, like, monologue scenes in Mr. Robot. And Mr. Price has this really great line. He says the only reason he does anything is because he wants to be the most powerful person in the room. And there are only two people in the world who make him feel less powerful. So all this stuff, all this E-Corp making fake money and all this kind of thing that they're doing,
right.
It's all because someone made him feel small. Well, two people made him feel small. I feel like one is the White Rose Chinese
Dark Army
man lady. With that actor, by the way, I don't have his name on me right now, but that guy is a great actor.
Yeah.
People may recall him as, I forget which one, but either Hunk or Frank from Father of the Bride. And he's doing this role, and it's, like, crazy. And more popularly, he's probably known for being one of the psychologist dudes from Law & Order SVU. So anyways, Darlene and Angie and all the monologues are really good. One thing I really liked is, I was thinking, like, these, like, superhero stuff that is coming out now. There's all these superheroes. I don't see a lot of black superheroes. And Joey Badass, who plays Neil in the show, he has a scene where Elliot was about to be raped by a bunch of prisoners, white prisoners, who they were angry at him for taking down the whole system of that warden guy, played by Craig Robinson.
Oh, yeah.
They were angry at him for, and they were like, hey, you owe us $10,000 now because we lost $10,000 after you shut down the website. And so they were about to rape him. And Joey Badass has this scene where he, like, kills all the guys. Then he takes a knife and, like, stabs a guy right in the butt.
That was very graphic.
That was very graphic, but I feel like that's cool. Like, I think
we need to have these
superhero moments. You know, I think that's pretty cool. And actually, there's a lot of diversity in Mr. Robot. There's a Muslim woman.
Yeah.
I don't know if she's actually Muslim or not.
She's not.
She's not?
I've looked her up before, yeah.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Oh, okay. Do you recall anything about her?
I want to say she's Indian.
Oh, okay. Well, that's interesting. So there's a Muslim woman in the show. There's a few black people. And, you know, and just socioeconomically, Elliot lives in, like, a kind of a poor area of New York. And,
right, and then they have the contrast to the rich people.
Right. Living in their fancy high-rises.
I can't remember the wife's name.
Joanna,
yeah.
Oh, those actors are so good.
They're really good, yeah.
And they talk in Swedish.
Yes, oh my god, I love that.
Yeah.
I love that they're talking
really
in Swedish.
Cool. I think there needs to be more foreign languages.
Yeah.
And I can handle subtitles. I'm okay with subtitles.
Me too, I think it's cool. It adds culture to our TV.
Yeah. So getting on to the visuals of the show, there's a lot of cool things that they do in the show, like creepy music and stuff. I think the music is really great, by the way. But the Cramps, there's this like really undercover like rockabilly group, and they have a song from the Cramps in the show. It's like any show if you put Cramps in it, I'm gonna like your show. That's my rule.
I think you're the only one.
Yeah, I think so too, because I saw on Spotify they only have like 500 followers.
Oh, only.
There's a lot of cool stuff in the show visually as well as audibly. And like, for example, there's one episode, Fatal Internal Error, where Elliot, he realizes that he can get rid of, so he's trying to get rid of Mr. Robot and trying to stop him from showing up all the time and ruining a plan.
Who we find out in season two is actually his alter ego.
His alter ego, yeah. So that was the big twist. And well, anyways, so just to finish my thought of Fatal Internal Error, Elliot takes all this Adderall, and if he doesn't sleep, then Mr. Robot doesn't show up, Christian Slater's character. But he starts crashing, and he starts feeling like weak from lack of sleep and stuff. And throughout the show, while he's crashing, they had like the screen would like flip out, like the gray screen that comes up on TVs when you lose your connection and stuff.
Right.
And like they kept doing that. Yeah. And then when he finally crashed, they like grayed out the whole screen.
Right.
And
I, yeah,
just stuff like that. And that's just one example. They do stuff like that, like making it feel very grimy and dirty, like when he was in that drug house.
Oh yeah. It's,
you know, it's just really great show. Just there's no factor I feel like that's overlooked. His alter ego was Christian, yeah, Slater, and that was in season one. And I suspected that, and actually I had overheard in a podcast that I listened to that Christian Slater and Elliot Anderson were the same, or they had said that it's like Fight Club. Mr. Robot is like Fight Club. And I hadn't even started the show, but I knew that as soon as I saw that Christian Slater was this weird guy and Elliot was like having this like weird relationship with him in season one, I was like, oh, they're going to end up being the same guy. But that's not even a spoiler. I mean, it is in a sense.
Yeah.
But then the show just takes this complete left turn in season two.
Yeah, I think my trouble with season two was that, you know, with these special effects and stuff, sometimes it was hard for me to figure out what was actually happening and what was, like, stuff that was going on in his head.
Yeah.
Or stuff that didn't actually translate into, like, the real world or moving forward in the actual storyline.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Sometimes the transitions and the additional effects kind of made it difficult to completely understand what exactly was going on.
Well, so, okay, so we can segue this into the bad. This bad.
Talking about weak sauce!
You know, I kind of see that as a good. I'm like willing, because they did this whole left turn. So for me, watching the show has been interesting because it was spoiled a little bit for me. I felt like I knew where the show was going to go, but season two, you think this whole thing that Craig Robinson is this guy who has this website, and it's a little weird that the two would meet up at a basketball court. I was like, okay. And then the whole thing turned out to be
prison.
Him in prison.
Yeah.
And he completely made up the whole thing, and, you know, he's talking to you. He's like, hey guys, can you hear me? And he's like, I'm so sorry for lying to you about...
I know.
I hope you could trust me. And after they did that, I was like, okay, I'm willing to go on this ride, because there's going to be more stuff like this. And I feel like season three or season four, I feel like the bad guy from season one is going to come back at some point. I really like that actor and his character, by the way. He was like this kind of like compliment to Elliot. Elliot was in his head a lot, but he's like a little depressed, whereas that villain guy who is the drug dealer guy,
yeah, the Hispanic guy,
he seemed, he was also in his head a lot, because he had all these deep thoughts. He's like, hey man, I think we were destined to be together and all this kind of stuff. But he seemed to be in his head, but like very like goofy and comical in a way, you know, when he
would
talk.
Right, right, yeah.
He was still scary, but in a goofy way.
Yeah, kind of like a crazy way.
Yeah. Yeah, he's like, oh man, don't forget me.
I know, yeah.
I'm gonna be a lone wolf and stuff.
Yeah. And he like really liked Elliot, even though Elliot screwed him over. So that was kind of an interesting relationship.
Like, he's definitely coming back. And so they had said that they're only want to do 5 seasons, which I think is good. Okay. I think now that we're watching more and more British shows, I feel like if the less you do, the better, I feel like.
Right, right.
So, you know, one thing that seemed that I put down as a bad is hacking just seems like so much work. Like, they're like doing these like crazy stuff to take down the FBI and the police and all this kind of thing, and they show these like long scripts of coding that they're doing.
Yeah, see, I don't know anything about computer science or hacking or coding, but I wonder, like, I'd like to get someone's input as to like how like valid these scenes are, like.
Yeah. Well, that's one thing I saw online is that, or one thing I've heard is that that's something that a lot of people are like, is that the stuff that they're showing about that is real.
Is realistic, yeah. Okay.
So, and they're actually talking about Linux and GNOME and all this kind of stuff, and so I don't know anything about that stuff.
Over my head, yeah.
Yeah. One thing I don't like is, you know, in every show, in every story, the main character, just to progress things and not have a problem be too problematic for too long in a season, he's gonna figure out a quick and easy way to get out of it. And there's two like storylines. So in the first season, when they were in Stone Mountain, which was the name of the E-Corp's like backup database company, Elliot and then the Mr. Robot team, they do this whole thing where Elliot pretends to be a rich investor and he gets through the company and all this stuff. And their whole plan to take down the Stone Mountain databases was he's going to turn up the thermostat to really high heat because tapes. And so there's all this data that was backed up on tapes. But Elliot knew that if he turned up the thermostat, then all the tapes would melt. And it's like, you know, there's no explanation throughout the show that he was, like, really good at school or anything like that. Not that I really need that necessarily, but it's like I kind of dislike that every main character just happens to be, like, a whiz at, like, science. And then, like, in the FBI, I kind of like what you were saying, that there's a lot going on throughout the show, so it's kind of hard to understand. I think I take that as a good. Because I feel like that's kind of by design. But one thing is that his whole plan is this confusing thing to take down the FBI of using gas and hydrogen to burn down the building. And right. I didn't really understand any of that.
I think they always default to, let's just burn it down. And it's like, wait, what? Like, you guys aren't arsonists. Like, you're hackers. Why are you burning
shit? Stuff down?
Yeah.
I mean, they hacked the FBI,
right?
But that only did so much, I guess. So a lesson to all you kids out there, if you're thinking about hacking the FBI. So lastly, so I know you haven't watched Breaking Bad, but, you know, there's just kind of a lot of similarities where they had this kind of comedic sidekick. So in this show, it was played by Craig Robinson, and in Breaking Bad, it was Bob Odenkirk. And it's like this very serious storyline, and then they have this comedian come in to kind of play like to move the story along, but also to kind of play against the seriousness going on in the show.
And have like a side story to focus on for a while.
Yeah. You know, the twist was that Craig Robinson wasn't, so he was portrayed as this guy who was just running a business from his house. In actuality, he was the warden of the prison the whole time. So that's a little bit different, but still, I feel like this is the best show of this kind since Breaking Bad, but there's a lot of similarities I see to Breaking Bad. It's a little derivative, but...
Did a lot of the characters in Breaking Bad also have these, like, deep storylines that you kind of find out, too?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So Breaking Bad was a lot like that.
Okay.
And, yeah, well, so that's actually a good point. There's a lot of, like, surprises coming up where all of a sudden you find out Darlene and Angie are, like, actually good friends.
Right,
you know?
Yeah.
Like, so there's all this stuff that you can't even trust your narrator, which makes the show really unique. So, yeah, I feel like what we're coming up with is there's some little bads with the show, but overall, I think we both think the show is really good.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. And, like, even, like, season two was really slow, but it was so crazy. Like, we were both just eating it up, I feel like.
Right, and definitely focus on the show when you're watching it. Don't try to multitask. This is not one of those shows that you can watch in the background. You really need to collect all the information.
Yeah. Because
things, when they move fast, they move really fast. Right. So.
Okay, first let's do trivia.
Okay.
So the episode titles are video file formats, and in season two, the episode titles are encrypted file formats.
Rami Malek was recommended to show creator Sam Ishmael for the main role when Ishmael's wife had seen him in HBO series The Pacific.
In the show, Elliot and Darlene use the Python and Ruby programming languages for their hacks. All the main characters, actually, went to a hacking course.
Oh, interesting. In an early 2016 visit to The Tonight Show, Rami Malek mentioned Robert Downey Jr. was an immediate fan of the show, so much so that he took Rami Malek under his wing and gave him pointers throughout filming of some of season two.
Rami Malek often pranks other actors on set, and he does this with the cast and crew. One of his pranks is that he decorated Carly Chaykin's trailer with gummy bears. Carly Chaykin is who plays Darlene, and that's actually, the gummy bears is Darlene's favorite candy.
Whenever they show Elliot's phone, the battery is always at 22%.
That's interesting. I have to watch out for that.
Yeah.
I wish someone would prank me with gummy bears.
I'll keep that in mind.
That's a delicious prank. Okay, so let's get on to the final rating. So, Vanafsa.
Yes, Rishi?
I'm putting your feet on the fire here.
Okay.
On the rating fire.
All right.
So,
give it to me.
Out of 13, Adderalls, how many Adderalls would you give
I
Mr.
would
Robot?
Give all 13, because that's how many you need to figure out what the hell is going on.
You definitely need some focus. I also am going to give a 13 out of 13. I really had to think about what was bad about the show. You know, some people, like my sister, actually, Rimley, season two was actually very slow for her, and she didn't like it at all. And so some people can appreciate the journey and some people can't. And I'm saying that in kind of a snobbish way, I guess, but, you know, it's not for everyone.
Right, and that's how I felt, too. I liked season one 100% better than season two, but yeah. As a whole, I think, and where the show is going to go, it's really great.
Yeah. All right, and so with that, that's a wrap. You can check out show notes for links of things we discussed about Mr. Robot today, and that's at rishib.com/barenakedreviews. You can also leave me a comment by tweeting at barenakedrevs or on the Facebook page, which is just barenakedreviews, or email me at barenakedreviews@gmail.com. And feel free to comment about anything, like the following. So I got a comment here on the Facebook page on a post that I did about Suicide Squad, related to Suicide Squad. Harley Quinn, Margot Robbie, she's going to get her own movie. And so I posted an article about that. And the article suggested that maybe Jared Leto, it's good that Jared Leto is getting dropped as the Joker. And so I got a comment from Terrell Marble. And he said that Jared Leto's Joker, while looking quirky, was the closest since Cesar Romero to actually capture the craziness of comics Joker perfectly. Jack Nicholson and Heath Ledger's interpretations wouldn't attempt to patent smiling fish, which is a sentence I'm not really sure I understand, but he doesn't like Jack Nicholson and Heath Ledger, it sounds like. Terrell Marble goes on to say, one was a 40s gangster, the other was a man preaching anarchy, sounding more like Marvel's Carnage than the Joker, whoever Carnage is. Leto's Joker was straight up crazy, with a crazy man's obsession with getting back what is his. You never get the feeling he actually loves Harley. It's just she's his toy to play with, and he wants her until she no longer has fun or he breaks her. So I actually agree with one of the sentiments was straight up crazy, and his take I thought was pretty unique on the Joker. It's like a thug Joker. So I think that Jared Leto will get a second chance. It sounds like it might not be with the upcoming Batman movies with Ben Affleck. I imagine we'll see Jared Leto's Joker sometime soon. And I'm still working on my Joker laugh, you guys. So attention, prize alert. I'll be publishing Bare Naked Reviews on iTunes and the Podcast Catcher soon, like Pocket Casts and Stitcher and all that. I'll announce the date, but I want everyone to take part in it with me. I'm calling this the Get Naked with iTunes contest. I don't know what exactly that means, but you know what it means. So I'm going to pick a listener at random who sends me proof that they've downloaded all the episodes on iTunes. And I'm also going to pick a random listener who comments on the podcast on iTunes. So listeners, you email me proof, and I'm going to pick two winners to win a prize. So thank you all very much for listening. Thank you, my lovely wife, Banafsa, for being here with me.
You're welcome, as always.
And Mr. Robot, you put your gosh darn clothes back on.
That's a wrap.